Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today, we're going to talk about the NFL. And I'm going to give out grades. And I'm going to give you grades on the NFL and the NCAA football. And also, I'm going to talk about the MLB playoffs and the Toronto Blue Jays sweep of the Texas Rangers. But first, I want to talk about the Bengals and the Cowboys. I thought the Dallas Cowboys would win. I didn't know they would win in this dominant fashion. And when I saw them go up 21-0 at the half, I said, uh-oh, they really have stumbled onto something. Dak Prescott was spectacular. He was just smart under pressure in the pocket. But the big star of the game was Ezekiel Elliott, 15 carries and 134 yards. They punched the Bengals around. They punched the Bengals in the face. And I didn't know that they could do that to a Marvin Lewis defense with Dunlap and Perfect and all the good players they have on defense. But the Bengals are in a bad spot right now. I don't know if they're still feeling sorry for themselves after the Pittsburgh game. That was a huge emotional loss last year in the playoffs when they had the game won, and they acted really basically ghetto and did a lot of dumb, stupid, emotional things at the end of the game that cost them. And then this year they come in and they beat the Jets and lose to Pittsburgh, and that's a huge letdown. That's their rivalry, and they're in a funk. And Dallas took advantage of it. And what happens is when you have a dominant running game and you're playing downhill, and your quarterback is making smart decisions, and you're able to have that balance, you keep your defense off the field. Now your defense can fly, get up to the quarterback. You don't expose them because they're not on the field. I don't know how good this Dallas defense is. I really don't. But they're playing solid defense because they shut Andy Dalton down and A.J. Green. They really made sure that he didn't hurt them. They played a zone and they bracketed safety over the top. So they were really good in that area. And Bengals aren't able to run. And Bengals are a power running team, play action, giving the ball to Eifert and A.J. Green. It's not working because they're not running the ball at all. You know, Giovanni Bernard had 50 yards rushing. And Jeremy Hill had 12 yards rushing. So you're not able to – and when you're down 21, you can't run the ball as much. You're become more predictable. And Dallas won 28-14 in a dominant fashion. And I know the Dallas fans are crowing. I looked at social media, and they're just excited. Here's the deal. You got to kind of play Dak Prescott the whole year because they've developed this chemistry. What you can do if you're Dallas, because he doesn't have experience in the postseason, if you get to the postseason, be a wild card or a division, you can play Dak Prescott. And say, for instance, he struggles. You could put Tony Romo in as a relief pitcher because of his experience, and now you have an opportunity to come out of the NFC. But that's a long way to go because you're going to run into Minnesota. You got Green Bay next week. You're going to run into Minnesota. You're going to run into teams that are really going to load up against the run and flood the zone and make Dak Prescott go deep. For whatever reason, the Bengals weren't able to do that. I thought Marvin Lewis would do that, even though I didn't think they would win. I don't know. It's a long way to go, but I think Dallas is in a good position right now to compete for a division title. And they're one of my A-lister teams. My other team is the Atlanta Falcons. They completely, and I mean completely, dominated the Denver Broncos. The score was 23-16, but it really didn't tell you the story about how dominant they were. They were cosmetic touchdowns at the end of the game. They were up 20-3. They punished the Denver Broncos, and another problem with the Broncos is Paxton Lynch was playing. He was a rookie, so he kind of struggled. I mean, he threw an interception, and Atlanta took advantage of that. And Matty Ice didn't have gaudy numbers, but they made the plays they had to make. Devontae Freeman was big time against that really good Denver defense, getting 88 yards rushing. And the Falcons, to go to Denver and win, that was a big time win. And the Texans versus the Vikings, the Vikings dominated the game 31-13, and they're starting to pick up momentum. They're starting to believe. They're starting to look around and say, you know what, we're the best team in the NFC right now. And they're playing like it. And Sam Bradford, 22 of 30 for 271 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 93.3 QBR rating. Brock Osweiler had one interception. He was 19 of 42. They really confused him. And I saw frustration from Osweiler. And what's happening is the Vikings are starting to frustrate offenses. They're frustrated. They frustrated Aaron Rodgers. They frustrated Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. And Mike Zimmer's dialing it up on defense, and their defense is playing well. They have great pieces on defense. Between Barr and Hendricks, they have a really Treadwell. They got a great linebacking core. Xavier Rhodes is shut Hopkins down again. He's another receiver on his hit list that he shut down. Hopkins only had 5 receptions for 56 yards. And now there's a certain confidence that's coming out of Minnesota. And they're also thinking, you know what? We could put a run together and we can get home field if we just keep this momentum going. Now you got the Eagles at Philadelphia. You have the Cowboys coming up on your schedule and the Redskins who have suddenly woke up. So they got a tough schedule. They got to go to Green Bay. So it's going to come that when November, towards the middle of November, you kind of start to see teams who are the real teams and who are the teams that are going to fade by the wayside. There's still a lot of season left for teams who are struggling to make a run. Like the Cincinnati Bengals are probably too good to just keep struggling. You figure out they're going to come out of this funk. And teams like that and the Giants, who lost to Green Bay yesterday, will come out of their funk. They're too good not to make a run, but the Giants have to hurry up and make a run. They lost to Green Bay 20-13 yesterday, and they made critical mistakes in that game. And toward the end of the fourth quarter, their running back Starks catches the ball, but he really didn't catch the ball, and it was ruled a catch. And the Giants could have challenged and made it 3rd-and-13 to get the ball back at 20-13, but they didn't challenge it. So it was 3rd-and-10, and the receiver picked up 12 yards. And if they had challenged it, the Giants would have got the ball back. And you can't make those mistakes. Your coach's staff and your coach has to be sharper than that, and that's why you're 2-and-3 right now. But they're too good. I got to figure they're going to make a run. The only problem I worry about with the Giants is because they've started 2-and-3 and they haven't made the playoffs 4 years in a row, the players start to go, oh, no, here we go again. Another season where we're going to waste our talent. And the Giants have to fight against that. Eli has to fight against that because Eli does have 2 Super Bowl rings, so he has the cachet to bring that team back. So they're not – I don't rule them out. The Eagles and Lions, I had a funny feeling the Lions were going to win. I thought this was going to be a letdown game for the Eagles. And the Eagles had a chance, but Matthew Stafford drove them down the field for the game-winning field goal. And then Carson Wentz made his only mistake of the year, like with about a minute 40 left. If you dink and dunk down the field, you had enough time to kick a game-winning field goal. But he went for it. For the deep ball, the player was double covered, and the Lions get the interception and win the game. And the Eagles have to fall back at 3-1. Up, we have a caller. Oh boy, this is a Dallas caller. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How about those Cowboys?
Yeah, I hear this.
How about those Cowboys?
Voice. Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I mean, they're dominant. They're the first running back to have – I mean, the first team to have a running back and a quarterback with 500 yards passing and a running back with 1,000 yards rushing in NFL history.
Yes.
So I know you're happy
yes.
about that. Ezekiel Elliott is playing great.
The thing about it is, I know a lot of people don't care for Jerry Jones and, you know, the Cowboy organization, but you know what? They made some good decisions. You know, we let DeMarco Murray go, but we have something with Zeke. We have something with Dak.
You have a lot.
Fourth round quarterback. You know, we didn't jump on the bandwagon of getting all those veteran quarterbacks out there. But obviously our scouting agents are doing an excellent job. And one thing about this young squad, they play like they're veterans. And they have a good chemistry so far. So I just want to say this may not be our year to go to the big dance, but we're not too far off. And
I know a lot of people
counted us out, especially those Giants fans. Let me tell you, they were riding high week one when we lost to them by 1 point. But that 1 point, that was like 1 week for us to gel. You know, we didn't have our star quarterback, Tony Romo. He is our franchise quarterback. And, you know, we didn't know how we was going to do. We didn't know how we was going to gel. But just to go to show you that if we were to meet them today, we are not the same team as we were in week one. We get better and better every week. So all I got to say to all those Giant haters out there, just keep on looking. And just keep
well,
on
now,
hating.
Now, slow down here for a second. Now, the Giants, you have to play them again. I think they're going to play a little better. 2-3, it's a long season. I'm going to be stubborn. I still believe they're going to end up beating you guys in Giants Stadium. I think if the game was in Dallas at this point in time, you would definitely beat the Giants. I just think the Giants are due for a good game. So I'm going to hold that thought that the Giants are going to make a run. The only thing I worry about is the Giants have not made the playoffs the last 4 years, and the players can't sit back and look and be like, oh, no. Here we go again. Yeah. They can't have that mentality. They have to have the mentality that we're going to make a run, and when Dallas comes to town, we're going to take care of the Cowboys. That's the mentality they got to have.
Well, I think with the Giants organization, I think the coaching staff isn't what it was a few years ago. I think the old coaching staff was a little bit better. I think they make some changes prematurely. And you know, when they won their Super Bowls, they was under a different coach. They're not the same Giant team. Odell hasn't really done much this season. Eli has been underperforming. You know, they got –
Well, the line in their offensive line has underperformed because you have a lineman that played really bad, their first-round draft pick, and he's trying to have a fist fight with a reporter after the game, and that's a no-no. You can't be imploding like that. So that's my concern with them. But I want to see what happens when they play. They have the Eagles coming up at home. They got the Cowboys coming up at home. So we're going to see come November. You guys are built, though, for November, the way you're playing, running, and playing the physical game. I don't know how good your defense is because your offense is beating people up so much, your defense isn't on the field that much. So we're going to see when you play the Eagles and the Giants. I'm going to sit back and watch. I'm very impressed with what you're doing right now.
Our defense is getting better week by week. I think they've seen the call to rise to the occasion, and they heard the call to rise to the occasion, and I think they have it. We got some players back that were suspended. So we're up and running. We're definitely up and running, and we're looking to get even better, even if we got to add a few more pieces to our defense. But, again, with the Giants, they spent tons of money this summer on their defense. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they didn't play that terrible yesterday. I mean, you went against Rodgers. You're going against Aaron Rodgers next week now. So we're going to see.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real – this is going to be the best test of the year for Dallas.
Yeah.
Walking into Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers has never in his career lost to Dallas.
we owe them an upset.
Well, you owe them.
You know, we
Aaron
robbed.
Rodgers is,
we were robbed.
Yeah, you were robbed. I do agree.
We
were robbed. You were
robbed
in that playoff game.
Yeah.
But then they came back and beat you up last year, and now you got to play them again. And like I said, Aaron Rodgers has never, as a starter, has never lost to the Dallas Cowboys. So you definitely want to owe them. But that's a tough challenge up there in Lambeau Field.
Well, again, it's already been proven this year that the Green Bay Packers isn't the same team that they were
the previous two years. They don't have the same team, but we'll see. Listen, I got to let you go, and it's good for your Cowboys. I know you're happy, so I appreciate the call. I'm happy you're able to enjoy that win.
Yeah, one quick question. Who you pick? Who you got, Green Bay or Dallas?
Man, I got a show Saturday. I got a question number. That's a tough matchup, man. Because Dallas could go there and win, but it's at Green Bay. If it's in Dallas, I'm picking Dallas, man. I got a little question number. You call Saturday and check on me Saturday. Let me sit here and get on my computer, crunch numbers, look at Aaron Rodgers, look at your defense, look at how Elliott runs, because they're very good on the run. They're the number one rush defense in the league. So give me time on that, okay? You're going to give me a look at that?
Yes, I'll give you some time.
All right, I appreciate the call. You got to let the Cowboy fans have their day. It was their time. But the Steelers beat the Jets 31-13. It was more a tale of both teams kind of couldn't get out of their way in the first half, and then the Steelers dominated the second half 17-0 run in the second half. And the Jets had some peculiar play calling where they had a chance to go for it on 4th-and-2 down 11, and they punt the ball and the Steelers run the ball down the field in the game. It was a ridiculous kind of way to lose. The coaching staff and the players dropping interceptions and passes, that's what cost them. I still think the Jets have enough talent to make a run. I don't know if they can from 1-4, but you never know. Now, in the NFL, I got my top-tier teams, and that's in the NFC, you got Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle, and the other, those are my top teams. Seattle, Atlanta, Dallas are the cream of the crop. And in the AFC, you have Pittsburgh, Denver, and New England. And then you have teams that are trying to come up like Oakland. They're making a move. They have one loss, and Oakland is now tied with Denver for first. And those are my cream of the crops as far as my A-level teams. As far in college, my A-level teams are Alabama beating up Arkansas 49-30. My other team, my surprise team, is Washington. They won 70-21 over the Oregon Ducks. And Jake Browning had 6 touchdown passes, 304 yards in the air, and they're a dangerous team. My other team is Clemson, who had a dominant performance against Boston College and Ohio State, which blew out Indiana, and Michigan, which won 78-0 to my alma mater, Rutgers. And that was a message, because Jim Harbaugh featured Jabril Peppers, who was from New Jersey, played at Don Bosco and then Paramus Catholic. And there were 60 recruits there at Rutgers to see Rutgers play. But Harbaugh is going to be plucking players at New Jersey. So he put on a show for all those recruits to see who were thinking about coming to Rutgers. Jim Harbaugh is like, you know what? You want to come over here to Mason Blue. And that's a problem if you're a Rutgers fan or a grad when you see Harbaugh, who's going to come and pluck players, who's recruiting like crazy. Michigan's on the move, so that matchup with Ohio State is going to be huge. Those are my top-tier teams. My teams that are close are FSU, which had a big win against Miami, and A&M and Tennessee, which had an awesome ball game, 45-33 A&M in overtime. Tennessee's luck finally ran out. They made a furious comeback down 2 touchdowns with a miraculous strip of Trayvon Williams in the end zone. and then they come back and tie the score, and I'm thinking they're going to win, but Trevor Knight makes all the big plays that he had to make with rushing and passing, and Texas A&M was able to hold on. Trayvon Williams had 217 yards rushing against Tennessee. Tennessee, the problem with Tennessee, they got gashed. They have been getting gashed. They got gashed by Florida in the first half. They got gashed by Georgia. And then I know they're missing secondary players. But that's a problem. And the chickens came home to roost, and they finally lose a game. And I think they're going to lose to Alabama next week in a tight game. But it was one of the most exciting games in college football this year. Texas A&M is still in it. I'm still going to put Texas A&M in it because they're undefeated and they have a matchup with Alabama 2 weeks from now. So that's still – but like I said, Washington, they have nothing in the Pac-12. They have an easy schedule. They should be able to win out and win the Pac-12 to beat whoever else is on that side, whether it's USC or UCLA. And they're going to be in the Final Four. I think Ohio State, Michigan winner is going to be in the Final Four. The SEC winner is going to be in the Final Four. And Clemson, if they don't lose to Florida State, if they lose to Florida State, that could be interesting. Because I don't think Louisville would need Clemson to lose twice because they beat them head-to-head. And then even if Clemson loses, they could still get in to the playoff picture. They're still okay if they win out and beat Miami or whoever else is on that side of the ledger when the playoffs come in the ACC. Now I want to go to Major League Baseball. It was an intriguing game yesterday between the Dodgers and the Nationals. The Dodgers were leading in the game 2-0, and they were up 1-0 in the series with a chance to close out in L.A., and it looked for all intents and purposes, that they had some momentum. Hill was pitching terrific. He's got the nastiest curveball. But what happened is he got two runners on in the fifth. This was another big fifth inning because last time it was the fifth inning in game one where Kershaw got the big strikeout and the Dodgers won. But this time the tables were turned as Jose Lobaton hits a 3-run home run to give the Nationals the lead, and it gave them momentum. They were able to win the game 5-2. Now you're going back to L.A. L.A.'s a very good home team, very good. So they're excited about getting the split going home. They'll have Kershaw ready for game 4. But I don't know. I think the Dodgers could still win. I don't know if you wanted to go back to Washington. They better win those two games. The Blue Jays and Rangers. This was a terrific game. And the Rangers were hoping to defeat the Blue Jays and get back game 3 and build momentum, and then win in game 4 in the Rogers Center and take it back to Texas like Toronto did. And they started out good with the lead, but the Blue Jays came back with home run, and I thought when the Blue Jays took a 3-1 lead after Encarnacion hits a 2-run homer and Russell Martin hits a home run, I thought that was going to be the death knell for them. Then Texas comes back, and Duras hits a home run, but then Toronto comes right back, and Encarnacion and Donaldson get RBIs to make it 5-2. But then Odor hits a home run for Texas, and you could tell that excited the Rangers bench, and they got excited about that. And Texas held. They held Toronto. Toronto had rallies. They held on, and then Texas came back to take the lead, and Borland doubled the left center, and Odor and Lucroy scored. That gave them a chance, but then Toronto comes back in the bottom of the sixth, when there's a wild pitch and Tulowitzki scores to tie the game. It was tied for a while. And I'm saying to myself, that really cost Texas. If they could have kept the lead, that would have put a lot of pressure on Toronto. But the fact that it was tied and Toronto's home, I said somehow, some way, Toronto's going to win this game. And lo and behold, in the bottom of the 10, Russell Martin grounds him to a fielder's choice, but then there's an error by Odor who throws wild. Moreland can't get the ball. He tries to retrieve the wild throw to home, but Donaldson has a great slide. They scores. Toronto is in it, wins, and they complete the sweep, and they have beat Texas 6 straight games in the playoffs. And now they officially own the Texas Rangers. So all the thought of revenge went down the toilet, and now Toronto is moving on to play, I believe, the Cleveland Indians. I don't ever want to discount what the Red Sox can do. But what makes me nervous is when they left Cleveland, I didn't like the way they looked. I didn't like David Price's body language in that game where he gave up all those runs. Cleveland believes they're kind of like the team of destiny right now. Boston has Buckholz. I don't like him in a big spot. I like the team and the pedigree guy. I know they have the championships. They came back from 3-0. They've come back against the very team they're playing now, down 3-1 to come back. But I got a feeling that Cleveland's going to figure out how to close out the Red Sox and get ready for the Toronto Blue Jays. And then you have Bumgarner versus Arrieta, Cubs versus Giants. This is going to be a fun matchup. The only way the Cubs can win this game is if Arrieta goes 8 scoreless. Because Bumgarner's on a major roll. I don't know if you're even going to get a run off of. And you have to kind of hopefully you wait Bumgarner out and go into extra innings and try to get Bumgarner out of the game and have them go to their bullpen, which is good. But you'd rather see anybody besides Bumgarner. So the only way Cubs are going to win tonight is to wait him out. And if they don't, they're going to have to try to get a game 4 because I know the Giants have had a history of making comebacks. So I will be back Friday to recap the Major League Baseball scores.